Well, here's the picture I was talking about. It's probably the best look 99% of us will ever get of a chimney swift, because they're usually very high up in the sky, and they're very small. They're swift, no pun intended. I think I beat Josh on that one. If you notice their claws on the person's thumb, their claws are very long and sharp to cling to the inside. They evolved roosting in trees, but it works well in our chimneys as well. And this is the typical view, and still probably better than the most, that you'd normally get of a chimney swift. They're usually high up in the sky in pairs or in threes during the courtship season. And I'm going to try to share the sound of these guys and hope this works. Let me know, Josh or Jenny. Can you hear that? Yep. Yeah. So when you're walking around Bethlehem or anywhere else in the area in spring, late April, May, this is what you should hear overhead. And look up and hear them, because they're really neat to watch. They're very good flyers, and I think it's fascinating. But that's their chattering call that they do while they're flying. And I go back to this. So what they're doing is they're aerial insect eaters. And what they do is eat flying insects. Their primary food is beetles, which is something I wasn't aware of until I dug into this a little bit after we got involved in this project. I assumed it was mosquitoes and things like that, but mosquitoes are generally out in the evening after the swifts go to roost. But they do eat mosquitoes and many other flying insects. I read one account, and again, you can imagine it's very difficult to be able to quantify exactly how many insects a bird eats in a day when it's flying around 100 feet over your head. But anywhere from an individual bird eating 1,000 insects to 12,000 insects to raise a nest, a group of nestlings from hatching to fledging. So that's a tremendous benefit to humans. These guys are called neotropical migrants. They spend the summers and warmer months in our area, but because they're obligate, they must or only eat insects. They need to fly south in the winter. And as Jenny was talking about earlier, they fly to South America. So our swifts fly about 3,500 miles to the northwestern part of South America, including Brazil, Peru, and the entire northwestern quadrant of South America. down there, they're in cities, they're in tropical rainforests, roosting on trees and spread out, eating the abundant insect supply during the winter down there, or their summer. Actually, it's still probably, it sort of straddles the equator there, summer and winter. So these birds evolved over time without man's benefit or detriment. And what they do were hollow trees to nest and roost in. And it's hard to find a good picture of a big hollow tree, but if you can imagine, before Europeans came and the old growth forests were here, we had trees that were, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 feet across. And when they got hit by lightning, they'd be hollowed out, rot out. And over, you know, tens of thousands of years, there was an abundant supply of hollow trees for these birds to use for roosting and nesting. And when they build nests, they make these really neat little stick nests on the inside of hollow trees formerly and in our chimneys now, by taking tiny little twigs and gluing them to the inside surface with their saliva, which is very glue-like, and they laid between 3 and 5 eggs. And then we arrived, or I should say Europeans arrived, and because we wanted to have farmland, we needed firewood, we wanted to build homes, we basically cut down everything that was old growth, eliminating the Swiss natural habitat. But in its place, we built houses with chimneys. And we built a lot of chimneys because we heated with firewood. And when the industrial age came, we built huge chimneys for our industrial production. And the Masonic Temple is sort of an example of that, where it's 5 feet square on the inside. It's a monstrous chimney. And the Swiss adapted to this and quickly, actually, their numbers are projected or thought to have increased tremendously because of man and the benefit of the multitude of chimneys. So we actually did a good thing without trying. And they adapted. This is a picture of the inside of a chimney that's probably very similar to the Masonic Temple, a mass of migrating chimney swifts using it as a roost. You can get tens of thousands in a big chimney at one time. So they're very critical. Unfortunately, times changed. We're now starting to cap chimneys. Chimneys are made out of stainless steel. They don't have any entrance or for the chimney the swifts or any gripping point. And we're tearing down the unused industrial chimneys from the industrial age. And without hollow trees or the chimneys for the swifts to use, they end up doing something like this. This is a migrating flock of chimney swifts, and I can't even imagine how many are in this picture. But they're roosting on the outside of a tree right down to ground level. And the problem with this is, imagine the vulnerability to predators, or if there's cold rain at night, or a couple days of rain where they can't fly to feed. They're totally exposed to predation and the weather. And that's what we did, was explained to Mr. Noble, on why the Masonic Temple chimney was so important, because those birds are very site-specific. The 60 feet away new chimney, which was part of the original plan as a possibility, probably wouldn't have been a problem, because that's real close. But if there had been no chimney involved or replacement, and that chimney had come down, the tens of thousands of swifts that probably used that chimney during migration probably would have ended up roosting like this, and many would have perished. So, as Jenny mentioned, in the last 50 years, there's been about a 72% decline in their overall numbers, and they're really not sure why. Loss of habitat, nesting locations are all thought to be a major part of it, but recent studies are showing that something that may be even more imperiling them is the decline in flying insects, especially beetles. Beetles apparently are very high in protein and excellent food sources, so they can reproduce and migrate in good health. And the beetle population has crashed due to our pesticide use. So they've switched to other insects a little more for their feeding, and that's not allowing them to get to the proper health to reproduce properly. But we can help. This is Scott Burnett, who's supposed to be giving this talk, finishing up a chimney swift tower, one of about two dozen that he's been involved in the area, in the tri-state area. And it's simply just a replica or trying to look at a better word than that. It's basically a wooden chimney, freestanding for the Swiss to use. This is actually at my township building. This is one Scott and I put together. On each sign, we have interpretive signs to try to get one, what the structure is. It's actually a big nest box for birds and a roosting site, and try to get people to understand that these birds are so beneficial, eating flying insects, and how we need to help them. So this is, while we're building the tower, looking straight up from the bottom, looking out the top, and it's T111 cut sideways, so that there are little ledges every few inches for the birds to cling to. And we checked the tower, not this one, but another one similar to it, 2 years after it was built. And it appears that we had two nests in it. These are chimney swift nests. And they typically will only have one nesting pair in a tower in 1 year, but it isn't unknown that there'll be two. And also other birds, other swifts, can roost in these towers even when there's nesting birds there. They apparently don't hold it against birds that don't have a place to go. But generally when they're nesting, they're singular, but in migration, they roost in huge numbers. So this is another tower that Scott built on Lake Muhlenberg in Allentown, a little taller than the other one. And this is where the nests were, I believe. Now, the chimney swift towers can be of multiple designs. I found this one on the web this morning, and it's quite colorful. And I thought I'd include it because one of our goals is to build these towers around Bethlehem to help promote the cause. And having something like this, I think, would be a good educational tool and be an decorative and draw some attention. But these are wood towers. They also come in masonry and multiple other designs. And for more detailed information, you can go to what's called chimneyswifts.org. Definitely do the plural of swifts, because if you don't, you end up at a chimney cleaning service website, and they can be detrimental if they clean them at the wrong time of the year. And another really good website for detailed information, if you're interested in digging into them more, is at Cornell University's website, All About Birds. And you can just type in All About Birds, and it'll come right up. And as Jenny said, here's a picture of the chimney swift tower chimney that we're trying to save for the swifts at the Masonic Temple. This is before it was completely freestanding, but you can see that the developer, Mr. Noble, has gone to extraordinary efforts to try to save this chimney. It was completely attached to the building, and I am sure it has cost him a small fortune and serious delays in his construction project to try to save this for the benefit of the birds. But it's incredibly important and beneficial, because tens of thousands of chimney swifts probably use this every fall and spring migration. They move in mass in a very tight time frame in the fall, but in the spring they still move in numbers and will roost in the chimneys as they move north and then scatter into their separate nesting sites. And that's what I prepared.